Actually brings up another interesting question, John, which is how do you manage patients who relapse after getting BVABD up front? Are you going to bring back bevacizumab in the same exact way? Or, I mean, obviously it's going to be individualized, but any thoughts about that?
Yeah, so certainly that's one we're going to potentially see more of in the upcoming future. I think, strategically, it would make sense, certainly in people that have just progressed on a BV-containing regimen frontline, and you're dealing with primary refractory disease or early treatment failure. Logically, it doesn't make sense to bring the drug back in your pre-transplant regimen, and it's unclear to me that there'd be any benefit with patients getting BV consolidation if they failed it up front. So I think in those settings, I'd be much more likely to avoid giving any BV. That being said, if they've had a remission duration of at least a year or more, I think re-challenging them at some point using some of the risk factors we've talked about earlier in the consolidation setting would make a lot of sense. And as part of first salvage, I think philosophically, if they were BV exposed, again, personally, I'd be less likely to want to use BV mono as the salvage. Craig probably has experience and can speak to that compared to what I think to me is an intellectual question, but that's kind of how I would approach it.
Craig, I'm curious how you approach the patient who doesn't have a CR after either your BV and then chemo or just chemo.
So first, I agree with John. I don't rechallenge with BV if the patient had BV-AVD up front. That information is not readily available from the Echelon-1 study, so we have to kind of see where that's at. For salvage therapy after a BV failure, I would use standard chemotherapy, or we have a study that uses GVD and pembrolizumab that I think is novel in that setting. I think that your point to primary refractory disease is complex. So primary refractory disease can be defined in a couple of different ways. Number one, it can be defined as someone who gets a complete treatment program at the end of their therapy, they have disease. That's primary refractory, but as we know, that really is a partial response. As opposed to the patient who gets two cycles of ABVD and then you do a scan and they have new liver lesions. We call that primary progressive Hodgkin lymphoma. Patients with primary progressive Hodgkin lymphoma, which thank goodness is extremely uncommon and very challenging, is unlikely to be cured with the approaches that we're talking about. We have to think out of the box. Primary refractory disease that's a PR is no different than relapse patients, in my opinion. They should just go down the same pathway. I have great concerns, though, about retreating with brentuximab in somebody who just got 12 doses of it.
What about, though, the patient who, let's say, after ICE salvage has not had a CR? Do they still go to transplant?
So we don't. We give another salvage regimen, and there is data from the Athera study to state that patients who have a better response to their second salvage regimen do very well if they get post-transplant brentuximab. I tend to give the patients up to three chances to get to an auto transplant. Three chances if they have early stage disease because they can be radiated as one of their treatments. Two chances for advanced stage disease. I think these days, however, those patients will go on a checkpoint inhibitor. Two salvage regimens that didn't work, they'll go on a checkpoint inhibitor. They'll be going down the pathway of least resistance, and we'll have to figure out what to do with the patient down the road. The auto transplant ship has already sailed.
So, John, agree or disagree with any elements of this algorithm that Craig just painted?
Yeah, I think the concepts I totally agree with. There's, again, having a couple of additional agents available gives you a couple of additional opportunities to try and get a response. We're happy with PRs that are responsive, patients with partial metabolic response. We've also shown that in our data set, when they get another salvage regimen, if they go into CR, they do just as well as Craig's group had previously shown. So the goal of CR is there, but we would take people in PR and still try and transplant them. And then if that's a single site that they have a PR in, we'll give them consolidative radiation post-transplant as an example. Those are patients I think that could do well with BV maintenance afterwards as well. I think one of the bigger questions still is if you give those patients that aren't responding a checkpoint inhibitor, it goes against dogma that says you can't consolidate those patients with a transplant. But you do wonder if they may benefit if they're still responding. Or the concern, I guess, is if you're doing something immunologic and you ablate it, or are you losing ground? But I think there are data when you look at some of the patients that have been treated on studies when they've been taken off and transplanted that some of those patients are in remission. So I think a lot of information is going to bubble to the surface in the next couple of years that will highlight more salvage use of novel agents pre-transplant in this setting.